that have some skills at all in that area, we need about two or three people that are on standby, because we have so much things that come and go. And so I encourage some of you that have not been involved in the media department to, if you've got any skills at all in that area, we could use some help. All right? Now, tonight, I want us to talk about possessing the land. Now, I'm going to have to borrow the integrity of your past studies in order to get this job done, because if you understand Scripture at all, the Old Testament is a physical view of the spiritual church that would rise in the New Testament. The objective has been and remains the same. It's conquest. It's all about getting what you don't have. It's all about moving into what you haven't been living in. And so God went all the way into Egypt with a man that was fairly ill-equipped. We see him pondering and doing things. And one of the things I think is noteworthy that we should remember tonight is that the competition for breaking those Israelites out of Egyptian bondage was contested strongly. When he turned the rivers into blood, the king said, "Well, let them go," but they didn't. And they used all sorts of lice and frogs and things, and the world matched them occasion after occasion. Now, that's pretty easy to just let slide when you're not thinking about what we're going through today, and the fact that God recorded it makes it very important for us to make note of. And so when you see all of the things that failed to get them free, and you see one final thing, and that's the best lamb, and the blood of that best lamb on the doorpost, that sounds very inadequate to me compared to turning the rivers into blood. Is my mental capacity as far as just filling the land with lice, you would have thought that would have done it. But it was the blood in the Old Testament. Not a river turned to blood, because that's not flesh blood. That doesn't come from a sacrificial lamb. But the sacrificial lamb was portrayed, and the blood was the only thing that could get those kids out of that Egyptian situation. That's huge. Because we had a lamb that came, and his name was Jesus. And he came, and it's his blood that's going to get us out of the mess we're in right now. That's why they were scared to death. They said, when you call on the name of Jesus, you bring his blood, because that name is reputed and it is revered everywhere, because it was tempted in every way as any human would ever be tempted, and it survived and became the conquest of all. So when you get baptized in Jesus' name, sweetheart, don't you think you join in some Pentecostal church. When you get baptized in the name of Jesus, the glory of that resurrection becomes a partner with your future, and all power in heaven and in earth belong to the name, because the blood salvaged that name. Now, if you don't get anything else out of this evening, you got a Bible study right there to gnaw on for a week. Let's praise him for the word of the Lord. Father, I thank you tonight. I cannot praise you enough. I cannot give you enough glory in this house. I can't say it loud enough, long enough, and emphatic enough. You are worthy of all my praise. Possessing the land was a part of the getting out of Egypt. Just getting out of Egypt wasn't what God's plan was. But to get them out, he went to a great sacrifice. But the plan wasn't to get out of Egypt. The plan was you have to leave Egypt if you're going to have the promised land. I mean, it was never his intent for them to do a spin in the same wilderness for 38 years. It was amazing that they passed Kadesh Barnea 38 times, looked at it with longing eyes, looked at it across the way with longing spirit, and remembering what all God had done to get them out. And yet they would not go on into the rest of the promises. And I'm seeing too many people that are talking in tongues, but they're not claiming the promises. I'm here tonight to introduce us to the rest of our future. Possessing the land is going to reveal his glory and produce a power in the last day church that our willingness to praise him morning, noon, and night, our willingness to talk it in the streets every day is going to be so fervent. It's going to be a passion with every one of us. Go into church. I want to ask you this. Why are you really here tonight? You afraid I'd be upset if you didn't come? Did you come with a gnawing appetite? God, if you just give me one morsel, I'll be ahead of what I was yesterday. Did you just come because you want your kids to know you're still a member? I'm here to tell you it's not enough. He said, I'm going to feed the hungry. We ought to be praying all the way to church. And I mean, that don't mean you can't talk about, give me a piece of gum and make sure I got something to flavor that others flavors in my mouth with while other people are talking to me. I'm talking about inside longing. Just like we talk about all kind of stuff while we're longing to go to the lake. While we longing to go do this and longing to go do that. And why in the world are we so in a rush to get through with church? I mean, this is the bread of life if we're doing anything right. This is the sustaining force against the Antichrist. And I don't know when he's coming, but I know this. The clouds of darkness are all over. But as I told you a few weeks ago, they've been that way since I was born. Somebody say the heart. Pretty important part, isn't it? It's a big deal. Let's talk about the heart for a minute. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's some pretty noticeable things. Let's look at the brain for a minute. For as much as Christ suffered for us, arm yourselves with the same mind. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And let's talk about this beautiful thing here, the tongue. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, and full of deadly poison. Now, what does that top part say? Possessing the land produces his glory. So God, knowing that we were fairly weak in every way, he gave us this fabulous opportunity by faith, in repentance, in baptism in Jesus' name, and being filled with his spirit, begins a new life. I'm walking a new road. I'm living a new way. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. It's a new day every day with Jesus. He don't carry your sins from yesteryear or yesterday into your today. When you get up in the morning, it's going to be a new day. And you're going to have a fresh start. That's when you want to start it in victory. Praise in the name of the Lord. Seeking the kingdom of God. Not my will, but thine be done. every day in our mind and heart, he ought to have the first fruits of that. Now let's move on. God is not like anything on or in this earth. Everything here is a takeoff of a part of him. But he did not come from this earth. Somebody say, he was, he is, and he always will be. And I'm going to share something with you that's as fresh as this morning. And that is, we say it, but sometimes we're not real conscious of it. Somebody say, God is. He is right there. And whatever parameters you ever suggest he has of life are right here with that, him being there. And God can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities or weaknesses. Whatever you're going through, he is. And he is here. And he's not any more here than he is up there or at your house or between here and your house. He is. That's huge. That means wherever he is, there is love, there is forgiveness, there is mercy, there is all power in heaven and in earth. That means where God is. That's why I said, if you'll call on me in the day of trouble, I'll hear you. I'm not a God that's afar off. I'm a God that's close at hand. Those are solid scriptures, folks. They mean every bit as much as being baptized in his name. They mean every much as call on him in faith, believing, and it shall be done unto you. I am preaching and teaching both to us tonight that God right now is here, and he's going to be out there when you go, and he is a deliverer, and he is a healer. And if he is here and he is a deliverer, it's time for us to not let our heart with deceitfulness and wickedness try to tell us our sins are bigger than his power. He is in this house now to give you a sense of authority, a sense of total capacity to receive everything that he ever designed for you. Now, it's quite obvious that we can't swallow a steak in a whole bite, but you can start taking more of him in right this second. And as you receive a little bit of him, he'll bring the rest of what you need in with him. People often have the audacity to try to make him like his creation. Well, God don't care if we do this. What? He didn't go to Calvary because he didn't care. He didn't pray in the garden because he didn't care. Think of it this way with me for a minute. On the cross, Jesus Christ, suffering, deep suffering. I don't know how deep it's got to be for you to be bad suffering, but for me, just being hung there, the humiliation to be noted as God and to be being treated like an animal. I don't know how deeply we sometimes really look at all of that, but for me, I try to sense everything that went on there. Now watch this part. He looked up to heaven and said to God, "Why have you forsaken me?" And then he looked at us and said, "Father, forgive them." He's teaching us right there how to handle all the deficits of life. And that one split second, he's telling you and I how he made the resurrection happen. And that is, forgive before you're asked. And it is, when you got a complaint, don't go to anybody, go to the Father. because it is the Father's good pleasure to give good things to them that ask. And he knew that already. And he knew that if he would talk to the Father would compensate him for every deficit he was feeling and assure him, son, let me tell you something. You're just going to be there 3 days and three nights. But when you come out of that graveyard, you're going to draw all men unto me. And I am going to have a heavenly victory because you're going to be the resurrection and the life. And I'm going to fit you into not a program, but I'm going to fit you into the heart of man. And you're going to walk into the hearts of men and women by faith. And you're going to clean up everything. You're going to get out doubts. You're going to get out fears. You're going to get out inhibition. You're going to get out carnality. You're going to get out weird. You're going to get out weak. I'm telling you, he is the Lord of all, and he's on your side. And I want to tell you, he deserves our glory every day we get up. Thank you, Jesus. You are the mighty God. God is a God of principle. Not one thing happens in your world, in this world, or in their world. I've tried to share with you those seven eyes of God that look to and fro over the face of the whole earth. I've tried to show you that if this antenna on the other end in Europe can pick up a cell phone over there, you hear me. He can hear your weak cry in the middle of your midnight hour. I'm telling you, the antenna of heaven has all of the angels listening in. There's thousands and thousands, the Bible said, an innumerable company of angels that are listening into what you're going through, sir. Don't you be weary in well-doing, for in due season you're going to reap. If you don't faint or give up, you just hang in there, because he's not weary. He's not worn out. He's not given up. I don't care how many times you've fallen. He's not tired of getting you back up. He is the Lord, and he never changes. He's a getting up God, and he's going to help you get your kids back together, and he's going to help you get your glory in their heart and their home. I wish we'd praise him like he deserves it. He's out there working for you tonight. Hallelujah. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. If we'll sow enough praise, you can believe there's going to be some things happen, because praise don't die. That's why Paul's jail cell broke open. He didn't quit praising God because he had hell break loose in his life. I tell you, I'll say it again. It would do well to parade yourself through 2 Corinthians 11 pretty regular. It was God's victory room for Apostle Paul. That's where he taught Evel Knievel how to live. No fear. Somebody say no fear. Man, we get a bump and we think we got cancer and we see ourselves in a corpse. All you got to do is look how fast they go to the yellow pages, man. They get something that looks like... I never felt that before. Oh, God, I must be dead. Somebody say, I'm getting rid of fear tonight. You not going. You hear this preacher. You need to develop some confidence in the preaching of the word. Hear me tonight. You're not going anywhere till he says it's all right.
I say you're not going anywhere till he says it's okay.
I'm telling you, sickness may try to take you under, but if you'll keep the faith that was once delivered to the saints, I promise you the devil's not going to have his way. God's always had his way. The stars don't work because the devil's got a hold of them. Storms don't work because the devil's got a hold of them. The book said, God said, I created evil and I created good, and I'm well in charge. The only people that get all that other stuff is the ones that deny the faith and turn away from me, and I turn evil loose, and only for one reason does he even turn evil loose then, and that's to get you in a bind so you'll start calling on him. Because he is anxious for you to have his victory. He is more anxious for you to have his survival kit than you are to have it. Galatians 6 and 7. Do not be deceived and deluded or misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at. I wish about six of you men would stand up and say, I am God's people on earth.
I am God's people on earth.
Now listen to me. If that's true, and I know it is, you can be seated. Thank you. I'm sorry. Let me tell you something. God lives in that temple. He said, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy One? God lives right there. He will not tolerate you being sneered at because you look just like him. All you got to do is read Romans 5:14. All you got to do is go back into the book of Genesis. He made man in his image. And Romans 5:14 says, in the similitude of him that was to come. So he made man way back there. Paul picked up on it and got the understanding that, oh my goodness, he was speaking into the future when he said, let us make man. He was talking about the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the powers of God. And he said, man, let me tell you something. That was my. He made us in the similitude of him that was to come. And when that little baby come out of that womb as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, don't you think he didn't bring it for himself? He had that in heaven. He brought that so you could have bread. He brought that so you could have healing. He brought that so you could get up on a bad morning and say, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the mountains of his holiness, in the glory of his righteousness. I am born of his spirit. It's a big deal. It's not about just going to a building. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Much of the scripture in the Old Testament, such as this, God spoke in Horeb saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mountain. I wish you'd turn to somebody and tell them, say, you've been in that trouble long enough. You've been going through stuff that you don't have to live there. You've been parked way too long and the meter's already turned red and said expired. Time to move. Time to go forth. Turn you. Somebody say move. And take your journey. I refuse to sit in the powers of my past. I refuse to sit where the devil has tried to put me. I'm not keeping. My dad used to get my nose in the corner when I did wrong, but he didn't just put my nose there. I had to stand on my tiptoes. And when I let down, he was watching. I didn't think he was watching. I thought he was in the other room. Get back up there. And it did finally say this. Son, when you get ready and can think you'll believe him and be obedient, you can get out. I said, I'm ready. He didn't have to tell me four times he was going to forgive me. I'm sick of being in the corner. And I'm sick of living in the corner of the devil's life. I'm not going to let you live there any longer if I can help it. I'm not going to let your kids live there any longer if I can help it. I'm going to preach you into the middle of the room where the glory and the hallelujahs. You may say the corner's still rotten and all the things going on around me still bad. But I'm not living in bad because I got bad going on. I'm not marrying bad. I'm not marrying the weaknesses. I'm married to him. And he don't like a dead look on my face. Somebody say, turn you. Somebody say, your journey. And go. unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, in the south by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, to Lebanon, under the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, he says it in the book of Revelation this way, I set before you an open door. In this statement, he just says, I set the land before you. Go and possess it. I can tell you, you can sit and wish that God would go just possess it for you, but the pattern is established. If you're going to have a future, you've got to get up and go. If you're going to have a future, you've got to get up and go. You can't sit in the regrets of life. You can't sit there in the regrets of what's happened. And I wish I'd have been a better parent. I wish I'd have been a better preacher. I can tell you that I guarantee you I wish I would have been better at every bit of it, but I'm not the best preacher I'm going to be a better one this time next year. Count on it. I'm not sitting here. I'm moving on. He's a moving on God. He's a great big God. I'm not hanging around the weaknesses of yesteryear. He said, turn you, get you up, and go into the land that I've already prepared for you. I've got peace and joy you've never touched. I've got glory that you have never experienced, but you can't have it sitting in a defeated attitude. Too many things gone wrong. Too many people made mistakes in front of my kids. Too many people made mistakes in the church. Too many hypocrites in the pulpits. You can make all kind of excuses you want to, but I'm telling you, God is, and he's available. I wish we'd praise him right now. Hallelujah. Watch this one now. If it don't sound good there, the Lord your God hath multiplied who? Does anybody believe? I can tell you that if we act defeated in front of our kids, he'll multiply that. If we act defeated in front of the world, he'll multiply that. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And ye are the light of the world. And to know the truth, the go ye, the get up, the get out, the get with it, is a big deal. Bible studies like this you can't buy on TV. They are personal. They are from a man that cares about you. They are from a man that walks with you. They are from a man that prays over you every day. They are from a man that touches God for everybody in this city every day. I'm not sitting around in some fishing hole. I'm not sitting around in some snowbank. I'm telling you, I'm up fighting devils before most of this crowd gets up. And I'm not stopping. I'm not bragging on myself, but I want you to know that I am a fighter. And I am here to win with you and help you to fight every devil and to fight for every promise until you're dancing on the heads of devils and Luke 10:19 becomes a reality. They shall tread on serpents and scorpions and over all, somebody say over all of the power of the enemy. And those people that are watching us, they're going to be multiplied. God don't allow you to go through a problem without showing somebody a victory. How can I myself alone? What's this scripture? Boy, this really caught my attention when God had me directed here. Listen to the statement. How can I alone bear your cumbrance, your burden, your strife? Take you wise men and an understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. God will not do it for us. He said, how can I bear this alone? And of course he was talking through Moses. And he was saying, how can I bear this alone? I got to have you with me if I'm going to deliver you. I got to have you with me if I'm going to give you my mind. I've got to have you with me because I can't do this for you. I went to Calvary for you. I resurrected for you. I sent back the Holy Ghost like I said I would. And I gave you prophets and apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints like I said I would. I rose up and led captivity captive like I said I would. I gave you all the history you would ever need to have a future. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ. I'm watching people memorize about 15, 20 scriptures and think they got his whole brain. I can quote my mother on more than that, and yet I'm still not as good as she was. I'm telling you, let this mind be in you. Here's the most beautiful thing that if you could ever realize it. He put his mind on paper because it'll never change. Been parked there for over 2,000 years. I can't hardly keep my word for a month. And I'm pretty dedicated to making sure I can keep it. But I said one time I'd never get fat again, and look at me. I did. I ran every day. I did sit-ups every day. I did leg raises every day. And then I got to eat them strawberry pies. I said I would pray every day at the first of the year. And then I've let things get me fatigued. And I said I didn't have time. His passion means little, but I'm telling you, he's not surrendering his passion. He is committed to those twins, and the real access he has to those twins is that right there and that right there, because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Could I give you a little bit of help physically? This brain don't take care of the heart. The heart takes care of the brain. Your brain has no functioning capacity without the blood that sends it. Without the heart that sends it the blood. The heart is the critical issue. And God over and again tells us, don't nature teach you certain things? Can't you see, looking around, he considers the sparrows, but you're more valuable than that. He feeds worthless birds. Two sparrows sold for a farthing. Three sparrows sold for five farthing. You take those two equations and one sparrow don't mean a hoot. And he said, I want to show you something. I want you to take those two settings of the sparrows. And I want you to understand something, sir. I feed the sparrows. And consider the lilies. They toil not, neither do they spin, because I clothe them. But I do let the sunshine come, and I do let the sickle come. And they have an appointed time, and it's appointed unto man once to die. And then the judgment. I'm preaching to you tonight because Jesus cares about you. I'm trying to teach you this lesson tonight because he wants to be your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But that mind cannot be a quotation of scriptures. I've seen people that could quote the whole Bible and couldn't live a third of it. It's not about being able to quote it, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. until life starts coming from the heart, it's not complete life. It's not glorious life. And that blood that fills our body comes from the heart. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Somebody say he obeyed. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess to the glory of God the Father, that he alone is worthy. He alone is Savior. He alone is to be worshipped. He alone is to live. Let his mind be in us. And that every tongue confess that Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He came to establish a new bloodline. You're not going to be Chinese. You was born American. That bloodline's established. The Chinese have their own. The Japanese have their own. The different races across the world have their own. But he said there's not one of those bloodlines that can reach heaven, because they all got mortal bodies. But he said, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to create a new bloodline. And I'm going to allow you by faith to take advantage of a bloodline that originated in another world. This is not about joining a local church. It's about joining the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I was so thrilled last night to hear our district superintendent say exactly what you've heard me say. I'm not trying to make Pentecostals. I'm trying to make followers. I'd never heard him say that, not even in a private conversation, and he and I are very close and have a lot of fraternity. His body on the earth is a whole new bloodline. It's much more than a Christmas story. It's a revelation or a revealing. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and somebody say, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, fear not. I bring you good tidings, great joy, which shall be to. I wish you'd tell your neighbor, even you can get in on this. Even you. Don't really care how bad. Don't really care where. Don't really care how you got there. He said, this is great news for everybody, that Jesus Christ is born. And this shall be a sign unto you. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God. I wish somebody just say that. Glory to God. I wish you'd dig it from way down deep and just let it billow out. Oh, I know he has to rejoice, even if it was time that we just took in the service. I mean, he loves to hear that. And you are begotten by the Word. The Word birthed Christ. Christ said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are truth. Simply said in our language, you cannot separate God and his spirit from the Word. Possessing the land, the earth, for God. For us, it's our local territory. Somebody say, I want to possess the land, but I can't do it just sitting. I can't do it just thinking about it. I got to get up. I got to turn ye. I got to go. I got to go to the Kroger's, and I got to go to here, and I got to go to there. And I got to tell them, sir, you look like Jesus. I don't say you have to act. Tell them to act like it. Everybody was made in his image. Get them to thinking. You've got that capacity. Get them to thinking. You look like Jesus.
What made you say that? Well, I read about you the other day in the Bible.
people that have minds that have the potential to flourish with power. Accepting the Lord, the Word, not a bad statement unless it's just a statement. To accept His Word into our mind and His Spirit into our hearts is great. I've seen and married people that I said, do you accept this woman? Do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for sickness, for worse, for better, for poor, richer, for poor, in all of these things? Do you take her? Yeah, I accept her. And 2 weeks later, they're in a fight and thinking about divorce. He didn't accept her. He just said he did. I accept you, baby. Bitter or sweet. And we've had both. But it's been sweeter than it has been bitter. And I've had some days I disappointed the one who I told I accepted him as my Savior. But I have quickly confessed, as quick as I could realize what I had done. Many statements by many religious people are not bad. They're just not obeyed. It is the duty and the responsibility of your pastor to pastor as Jesus did his disciples. If you want to know what to expect out of a real pastor, look at the time Jesus spent teaching them, talking about things they'd never gotten accustomed to in their world. Things that were very different than their religious systems of their land had taught them to do. He met with them regularly, pouring himself into them. The example is embarrassingly clear. They argued. Well, we want to know who the greatest is because we're looking for a promotion in the world. We want to run the thing. We want to do this and we want to do that. He showed us by example, training our minds to understand that the people that he chose to walk with him constantly were getting upset because they were mistreated by their brother. Constantly made to feel inferior in the brotherhood. So it's not a surprise to him that we have those moments. We need a pastor to talk to us about the extremities of life in and under the authority of Christ in you. If God be for us, who, what can be against us? Often all we need is a reminder of renewing our old faith. There's no God that can get me out of what I'm into except the nail-scarred hands. There's not a God that's got the kind of wisdom he's got that he can meet me on every level of life, no matter how educated, uneducated. People all the time trying to say, well, I just don't understand him. How ridiculous to think that we would understand the magnificence of a creator that could put the stars out yonder. That's not even it. All you got to do is be able to read. Repent or perish. How hard is that to get? If you believe in me, as the scripture hath said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Forgive before you. I can just cite all kind of stuff tonight. That's not hard to get. It's just hard to believe that it'll work. But I'm here to testify to you, it will work. It will work. And you will be the most gratified person in the whole world. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. All we must do, just believe him. He said to the man that was so far away in his thinking, "You're not far from the kingdom." And I've come tonight, as we come to the close of this meeting, to tell you, you're only at the most 18 inches from the best life you ever dreamed. It's about 18 inches from your heart to your head. Purify your hearts, he said. Erase the doubts. And let a fresh pulse of a pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm looking at a world that's got so many wonderful traits, so many powerful truths that they can call up in their mind. But it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth has got to speak. Because as a heart moves through the brain and the brain activates the tongue, we have become one in the triune part of our own body, and we become one with the Word as it starts in our heart. So he says, just purify your heart. And once you purify your heart, because that's where really the origin is, and that's why I started with the heart. As we stand to our feet, I encourage every one of us to just pour out our heart for about a minute. Honestly, not just a predetermined prayer, but a purposeful effort. Cleanse my heart. God, it's so easy for all the troubles of the church to get in the pastor's heart. It's so easy for all the people in the city that make fun of some of the people in our church to anger me. I cry out to you, cleanse my heart. It's so easy for me to be tempted when any one of the sheep in our flock here get hurt to gonna want to go shoot somebody. Time after time, I've wanted to go across town and knock somebody's head off because they hurt some of the people. I ask you to cleanse my heart. Cleanse my heart. I'm just letting you hear part of what happens in my prayer chamber, because that's how I pray. God, there's times I want to hit. There's times I want to shoot them. But he looked at heaven and said, "Why aren't you answered yet?" And then he looked at the crowd and said, "Forgive them. That's where I want to live." Why don't you take the hand of somebody you're partly responsible for, or sense a responsibility for, and let's make a commitment to God. God, I'm going to do the best I can get myself to do. That was my grandpa's old prayer. I'm going to do the best I can get myself to do. I'm going to do the best I can get myself to do. And as I get stronger at doing that, then I'll stretch out a little further. Devil, you're not running me away from the cross. Devil, you're not about to run me away from the tomb. No. I took my baptism serious. Sweetheart, could we sing that song? Maybe several could drive. You don't have to go up to the front. Let's just sing it together. To the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach I'll gladly bear. Some of you singers, would you join with her? And while you're doing that, let's pray for Brother Bob Bolton. I'm sorry, I just now realized he wasn't here. He was having chills and fever last night. And let's pray for him right now. Father, touch Brother Bob. Sister Jessie, let the words that we spoke over his life yesterday resonate in his soul today. Let your glory, let your eminence, let him feel the sensitivity of his brothers and sisters all of our people. Would you join in as we get ready to leave? I want us to sing more about that cross this year. It's shame
and reproach gladly bear.